sanctuary. Pure and holy. Thank you, Father. Thank you. By His blood, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for You. Sing it unto Him now. Lord, prepare me to be Your sanctuary, pure and holy, right and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living. Will You? Sanctuary for You. Amen and amen. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to see everybody out. Glad to have Brother Calhoun and his family with us back there today. We appreciate them. If you'd just like to turn in your scriptures, turn to Romans 8. Romans 8 and 1 John 3. Romans 8, 1 John 3. Remember now, the Lord willing, Brother Forney will be with us for Wednesday night service, preaching for us. And then on the fellowship meeting will be Saturday at 3 o'clock. So remember that, and that the Lord would be with each one. And Brother Richard Wilson and them will be with us for the weekend. They'll be preaching. So we appreciate that. And just expecting to have a good time in the Lord. Tell everybody you see to come and be with us. We always fellowship together. Eat together and have a good time in the Lord, because that's just part of it. So we appreciate that. Romans 8, 1 John 3. Appreciate Brother Gary. He started playing for us, and he may be running back and forth sometimes, but we'll try to get somebody. Anna's already back and getting everything to working, so you know she can handle starting up for him, because he runs the sound system. But that sounded good this morning. The only thing he needed is need more volume. But that'll take care of it, because we can boost him up and do things with him, because we want everybody that will to do what they can for the glory of the Lord, because it's a wonderful thing. You know, you have a talent, use it, because if you don't, it might go dry on you. You know, you might lose it. So use that talent. All right. Father, we thank You for Your love and Your grace. We thank You for everything, and we pray that You would just bless us with Your presence this morning. We truly believe that You will, and You already have through the singing, the worship, the testimonies, and the things, Father. We pray that You would just come now as we are to speak upon Thy Word, and that You would be the teacher in each one of our hearts and lives to teach us what Thy Word has said. Forgive us when we fail You, and we know we do, Father, but You just keep us clean through the atonement that was made for us. And just have Your way. Bless Wade there today as he's ministering for Brother Dutch, and just be with him and the loss of his father. And Lord, just grant understanding to each and every one of us as we walk in You. Forgive our sins, as we want to be covered, kept covered by the blood. And guide us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans 8. And then 1 John 3. Romans 8, 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free. Now, see, that's past tense. It's already done, if we believe it. Made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, what is the righteousness of the law? When you don't break it. When you live according to it. All right? Now, 1 John 3:20. in 20 through 22. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Now, I love that. See? Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, as I've said before, over and over, we're trying to talk about faith, and we're going to preach faith until we get faith, as a man said back there one time, one of the great warriors of faith. And I'm just trying my best to get you to see some things and to try to understand, you know, the place we need to be, the thing that we need to do, and how to have faith. You can say, well, I've got all faith. Well, wonderful. But will it stand the test? You know, like the prophet said, if you have all faith, then why are you in the prayer line? I come to be prayed for when I'm confessing that I'm healed. Huh? I mean, I'm confessing I'm healed. I say, by his stripes, I'm healed. But then I want somebody else to pray with me. Okay? And see, there's nothing wrong with that, because I'm getting help, because one can chase 1,000 to 10,000. So that way we can get help doing things, and, you know, and it's right to have people to pray for you, right to have hands laid on the sick. It's right to pray and to believe for one another. We're not trying to do away with anything, or the prophet wouldn't when he was saying, you know, if you have faith, what are you doing in the prayer line? He was just describing what we do and how we do. That a lot of times we think we've got faith when it's really not faith. It's just mental faith. You know, it's something we're just confessing instead of a possession of that. See? Instead of a reality, it's just something we're saying is there. All right? Now, talking about faith then. Now, I wish you would listen to this last Wednesday night's message on where I was speaking about word substance. And I wish you would listen to that over and over, because there's a lot in there that I believe is helpful and needful. See? All right? And it was a great thing to come down to the end and bring it down to see that, I believe the Word of God, now I'm not talking about letters on a page, see? But that's wonderful. Great opportunity to be able to read. All right? Letters on a page is good. But letters on a page won't save you. It's when the Word comes alive in your heart. All right? Now, the alive Word is God. That was what I was trying to get across this there Wednesday. The alive Word, the Word that's quickened to you, is God, and which is the substance. Now, truly, we could believe that He would be a substance, and not like the mythologies of the Trinitarian doctrines and the concepts. Oh, God is just like the wind. He's just floating around. They got him some kind of an imaginary something. No, God is real. Amen. The Bible speaks of him before he come into flesh as having hands, eyes, etc. See? Right. Greater than what we are now. So why wouldn't we believe he's a greater substance than we are? Oh, if we could just see him, we'd believe it. That's not Bible. The Bible says you must believe to see. When you see it, it's a scientific fact. Right? And you don't need faith for a scientific fact. Right? I mean, that ought to be simple to us. But when we see, faith is something that you have got, and we've read all of this and preached on it over and over. It's something you possess. But you can't show it to nobody else. Abraham believed God. Abraham had faith. Abraham could see the baby, but he couldn't get Sarah to see it. He couldn't get nobody else to see it. Sarah never had much thought about the baby other than trying to get it by some other method. You know. But then one day it was told it's coming through her. That's somewhere about the change of the body for them too. She probably began to recognize something was going on, and she was involved in it. Right? But you see, Abraham the whole time had to hold on by faith. He had the substance because the faith was within him, but he didn't have substance outwardly that he could show anybody. See, because once you do, that's a scientific fact, the prophet said. All right. But now, what about, you'd say, well, I need a tree. The prophet said, I'll give you, I need an oak tree. He said, I'll give you an acorn. No, I want an oak tree. Well, see, you don't know what you're thinking about. The oak tree is in the acorn. You just need to plant it, do whatever it needs to be done with it, water it, and you'll get the oak tree. Well, see, we want it all at once. No, I don't want an acorn now. I want an oak tree. See? But that's not the way God does things. He does things in mysterious ways, the Bible says. Right? But now just think about what we've been trying to say. Because, see, I believe the Word of God, like the prophet said, when you begin to see the Word, you're seeing Jesus. Amen. But yet people are looking and, I can read, I'm reading this and all, but I just don't see Him. You see by the eye of faith. Amen. You don't see by the natural eyesight. If you could see God by the natural eyesight, the end of the world has already come. See? Because it's not meant to be that way. All right? But faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, I asked you this question Wednesday, and I'm just reviewing it where I can move on into the point. What is the difference between the substance? I'm talking about a substance now. God Himself, that is real, a substance. What's the difference between that and His Word? Because He's not like you and I. He can't speak out of both sides of His mouth or be a liar or a hypocrite. Right. He can only say what His Word is. And that Word is true and forever settled in heaven. In John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. Word was with God and the Word was God. All right. What's the difference in His Word and the person? No, the person, Brother Dale, when he's standing, right? See, that's... You're not listening to what I've been trying to say and what I've been reading from the prophet. If you can see it, you don't need no faith for it. If you could see God standing there in a corporal body, you wouldn't need any faith. But yet you would mess every scripture in the Bible up because He's not promised to do that until the millennial reign. Because we meet Him in the air. See? Even to the Jews and the things, revealing Himself to them. Are the great things to produce the rapture. That's not the corporal body of Jesus Christ. Right. That's the way we are. So, if I could just see Him. Uh-huh. Brother Branham said, faith is something you possess that you can't show it to nobody else because you and you only have it. But see, we have the mental concept. Yeah, I believe it, I believe that Word. Well, amen, hold on. Right. Don't quit believing. Hold on until it becomes a reality. Hold on until it becomes a substance to you, like Martin Luther, like I said. No telling how many times he preached of the just shall live by faith. But one day, he read it, and it was quickened unto him, made alive within him. Then he turned the world upside down with it. It became a substance. Where before it was letters on a page. But see, when you see God that way, and you see Him in the Word, then you're not seeking for a God somewhere else. Up in heaven, as Paul said, He's not over the sea, He's not down in the grave. He's nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth, the word of faith that we preach.
Amen.
All right? See, that's a substance to you. So you've got to have something that you can depend upon.
Right?
And this is not only going to be where we have to depend upon it, but we're going to have to walk on it.
That's right.
Enoch wasn't walking on midair. He walked off the earth on the word that he had believed. So it's not an impossibility for us to do it. Right? But now, did you understand what I said then when it come down to the end of the message? See? in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. What's the difference in the voice of God and the Word of God? What's the difference in the Word of God and the person of God? See, you're trying to make it separate. Oh, His voice is up here and it's coming down through and it does it. Well, there's no difference. Jesus said, "My sheep hear My voice." And another voice, in other words, they won't follow.
Amen.
Why? Because we hear His voice. What is His voice? It's the Word.
Amen.
Right. Then we got over to Revelations 1 there, where it was talking about, you know, the revelation God gave Jesus to give to John, and then verse 14 and on through the Scriptures there, you know, coming on 13, 14, where it was talking about the one standing in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, like unto the Son of Man, girt about the paps with a girdle, which is the bride of Jesus Christ. All right? You believe that? It was the bride of Jesus Christ that was being shown there. God in His church. All right? Then we understand what it says. I turned to see the voice. Now, like I told you, John knew that voice. He didn't have to turn around hunting who was talking. He knew who was talking to him. He knew that voice on earth. Brother Brown said to Brother Charlie Cox, he said, "Brother Charlie, the same voice that called you and told you to turn around and be saved." He said, "One day I'll call you and tell you to come up."
Right.
It's not a different voice. It's that voice. But see, then I gave you a quote there where the prophet said, there's no difference between the person and his voice.
Right.
Now, unless you're a lying hypocrite. You know. See, God cannot be contrary and do things. So His voice, His Word is the same. Go back through the Bible and talk about His voice and the mouth and the Word and see how the prophets were God's mouthpiece and they only spoke what God gave them and they would say, "Thus saith the Lord." But Jesus never said, "Thus saith the Lord," because He was the Lord.
Amen.
All right. But see, then His voice, John heard it on earth. But then when he heard it there, he was expecting to see Jesus, but he didn't say he turned to see the one with, he said he turned to see the voice.
Right.
But being turned, he saw seven golden candlesticks.
Right.
See? And one like unto the Son of Man.
Right.
See? All right. Then he knew where that voice was, just like, you know, "I am Jesus," or there in Acts, you know, Paul. "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest."
Right. Amen.
Take that voice and run it through the Bible, run it through, and look at it in the days of the voice of the seventh angel when he begins to sound. The mysteries of God, or mystery singular, would be complete. We've heard the voice of Almighty God until even there's a one message there that says, you're not hearing William Branham's voice, you're hearing, I'm just using his voice to speak. That's how personal. That's where David would get in the spirit and sing and say, "They pierced my hands and my feet."
Right.
So much in the spirit, so much in the reality of what he was. But see, that was the voice. That's why I want you to hear that, see? Because see, your word is what you are. Your voice is your word, and your word is what you are. There's no difference between you and your voice. Because if you speak one thing one time and another the other, you're a lying hypocrite. That's no problem. Right? See, your voice is what you are. They used to label them back there, and they put a name on it. That's John the Liar. You know. I don't use Joe anymore, so. See? You are what your voice is. I call you, as I said Wednesday night. I call you up on the phone. And I say, "Hello." "Well, hey, Brother Dale, how you doing?" Why? Because you know my voice. Huh? But see, the best I could do, or Brother Gary could try to imitate me, which would be good enough maybe to catch you, but put that on a screen. And my voice is just like my fingerprint.
Right.
There's no two people in the world that's got the same fingerprint. There's no two people in the world's got the same voice. No matter how much that would be imitated, it couldn't come forth to show the whole thing. All right. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, see, listen to that message and get in there what, you know, what I was trying to bring about. And then later on, you'll see a little bit more about what I'm trying to say. Maybe next Sunday, not next Sunday because Brother Richard will be here. But, I want to get down to something now in the message today. I want to talk about the position to have faith. Position to have faith. We've talked a lot about faith and covering what it is. But let's talk about the position to really have faith. I've got to cover this to where we can won't have to spend much time on it. But now, there's a position, and I'm going to say this, and then I'm not going to explain this part until maybe this afternoon or whenever I preach again. But Brother Branham said that before Israel was delivered, he said they had to be crying out for a deliverer. All right? A preparation was made before that could happen. He said down through the church ages, you'd see it. They'd come forth with a great revival, a great move of God. And he said then it would begin to dwindle down. And then they'd go through periods of this kind of coasting life. But he said all at once, said something would come along and said the people would begin to cry out for more of God. And he said God would answer that by the next church age or the messenger coming to bring the message. What a preparation was made. Right? See, a preparation was made for you to come to church today. For the person next to you, I hope this is right. You got up and took a bath. Yeah. Right? You prepared to come. You had to drive a long ways. You had to leave away ahead of time. You had to have gas in the car. You had to get up. You cooked the breakfast. You done the thing. You put your clothes on. You got ready. What was that? It was preparation. Preparation for the coming to church. All right? Because, see, everything has to have a preparation for it. So the prophet told us now that we must have a preparation to be able to have faith. All right? So now let's just read a little bit. Number one on your notes, we're watch this all now. I'm talking about preparation. So now we'll listen to what we're saying. Preacher's paragraph 27 of Perfect Faith, 1963, 8:25 in the evening. And he that cometh to God must believe God. See, preparation now. And faith comes by hearing the Word of God. You must first believe this is God's Word. Now this is the point, see, to come to God. You must first believe that this is God's Word. See, in Hebrews there it said, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. See? All right. You believe that he was, that's no good. You believe that he was God, he was real, he was this. No, that's fine. But that's not faith. That's saying what somebody else says. So if you're going to come to God now, you must believe God and believe that he is right now. And you must believe that this is God's word. Now, this is a preparation or a position or a place or how to have faith. See, how to come to perfect faith. How to come to a place where faith is a reality, a substance. How is it? What is it based on? Believing God. All right. And we'll get more this evening on that. See. And what? You must first believe this is God's word, and you must come to God by his word. You must come to God by his word. This is not reading the Greer's Almanac. See, and finding God. That could be one way that God would use to speak to you. But still, that don't come by that. It comes by hearing the word of God. Right? And by that only, the prophet said. See, just take the word what it says, and that's right. Everything else contrary to it is not right. Now, this is still on preparation. Abraham had to believe just what that voice told him. Now, he didn't see no baby. He didn't see no sign, because you remember what we first talked about? Abraham first, it was Abram there, he had to first believe that God spoke to him and told him to get out of his country. It was on later before the time come of talking about the child and the things. But he had to believe that voice here, the prophet said, against everything around him. And my point's always been this much. I wonder how many people God spoke to in the days of Abram or Abraham, every one you want to bring. I wonder how many people he spoke to. We know he spoke to Abraham because he said he did. Huh? But what if, this is a point to understand, what if he spoke to 20 other people, 100 other people, or thousands of people? But you see, they didn't believe it. They didn't accept that to be of God. So then not doing that, there was nothing else could be transpired. But Abraham, see, had to believe just what that voice told him. And when he was 100 years old, 25 years later, he was stronger believing it than he was 25 years ago when it was given to him. See, he believed it. And he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong, giving praise to God, knowing that he was able to perform what he promised. That's the way. Every one of us must be that way. It must come with an unfailing faith, believing that God made the promise, but now you have to be in a position to have that faith. And that's what we're going to talk on, see, to receive that faith. Right. Now, there's a position to receive it. There's a position to have faith. Now, just go back to the top. See, it's first to believe that God is. You must believe that the Bible is God's Word. You must believe that God is speaking to you, not to Abraham. To believe God spoke to Abraham is fine. That's all right. But it's to believe God's speaking to you. To believe the Bible is speaking to you. We were talking about that last night. I really had a good time in the Bible study last night of talking of the things. Because you see, this has got to be personal. This is not something we were talking about, even like to try to stir some of you's curiosity. Maybe you'll come sometime. We were talking about how that, like in Revelation 5, you got the throne, and one on the throne, and the book in his hand, and the prophet said, and he comes from around behind the throne, and takes the book, climbs up on the throne, and sits down, you know. Well, see, that's like you're looking, you know, this happens this way, that happens that way, and that's doing. Oh, yeah, we see God. Well, how did he get on the throne? But the main point I wanted people to see, and how I've always tried to preach it, is why wasn't he on the throne to start with? It's because the people had dethroned him with their own doctrine. Because that's your experience that's being talked of right there in Revelation 5. He can't get up on that throne of your life unless you have the experience of it. Sure, there was a time when Jesus done this and when that happened, when he went to the Father's throne. But where is the Father's throne? The baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Father's throne is down through seven church ages. Amen. Sure, we can look at Jesus and all he's doing, but why don't you look at it like the prophet done? Just like we read or quoted to start with. Why don't you take Revelations 1 and read it to see yourself? And see one in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, likened to the Son of Man. What does it mean? Why does it say likened to? Because that means like is the same thing, you know, see? But it's not the same human body. It's in bride form. When are we going to realize, see, the throne is who we are. He's sitting on the throne because of the new birth in our heart. The Word is you and I, not letters on a page, but names. When are we going to realize that? And then get Him on the throne. Like I showed them setting our life night, here's the throne. Here's the one on the throne. And here's the book in His hand. I said, that's the faith of the fathers. Right there's the faith of the fathers. But that's not the opening of the seals, because the one behind the throne, it was mediatorial, come around behind, from behind, the prophet said, took the book out of the hand of the one on the throne, climbed up on the throne, and sat down and become the one on the throne. There's His opening of the seals in the thing, but it's to you.
Amen.
See, it's a revelation to you and I of our own experience. So don't look for a position somewhere. Oh, if I could just get good enough. If I could just get good enough. You know, if I could fast so many days. If I could pray so many times a day. If I could do that. All that's well and good. And needs to be done as fat as you and I are. Yeah. But that still won't do it. Because if God is not calling you to do that, you're just losing weight. That's all you're doing. You're just losing weight. Like Brother George Canada used to talk about that, where the Bible says bodily exercise profiteth little. He said, well, it does profit a little. But that's all it does. But listen, church, a position. So you first must know what faith is. Because you'd never know when you attained a position. All right? And you must recognize it's for you. Not for somebody else. Not finding Brother Branham in the Bible is going to put you in the rapture.
Right.
Finding yourself in the Word. All right? See? Finding Him is wonderful. That was a day. That was a time. But now's the time. Because it doesn't say in the day when the messenger's on the earth. It says in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. 40 years later, we're still hearing that same voice screaming out across the land. But now it's in a many-membered bride. Trying to believe the Word. See, it's not an imagination now. Faith is not an imagination. That's what I'm trying to prove to you. It's what I'm trying to show you, see. To show you, we took a message of what faith warriors, about what it done with all of those people. That they had a revelation of Jesus Christ in their heart for the day they were living, and they went out and killed lions and killed giants and all kind of, because of that revelation they had. Well, if they could do that without the new birth, what's wrong with you and I that claim the new birth? All right. See, it's not an imagination. It's an actual substance. You can't show nobody your revelation. Well, yeah, come let me show you my... No, you can't show nobody your revelation. You only use words. See? There's no human mortal can give you a revelation. Jesus couldn't give you a revelation when He was on earth as that one that was the human sacrifice. It's the Father that reveals. So He had to make way for the Father to come and live in you and I.
Amen.
To become a reality of what it's doing. See?
Right.
All right? See? It's something you possess, and it comes by hearing the Word.
Amen.
But now, what's the difference? Would you agree? Okay, because I'm using this, and don't say nothing. Just hold on, because you know how I do. You agree the Word of God is God. And we're talking about revealed Word. Now, we're not about letters on a page now. The revealed Word is God. Do you believe that's His voice? You believe that is the voice of Almighty God speaking? Then, do you believe that same God is living in you? See? Pleased to dwell in you. Then why can't we believe His voice is in us? Why can't we believe then that we, by the Spirit of God, by the messenger that come and brought the message unto us, we become, the prophet said, the final voice to the final age? Why can't we believe that? We must believe that. But you see, it's got to be a position to be there. And our biggest problem is the one thing. And we talk about being Christians. We talk about being saved and being born again. But what is the biggest problem that you have? Don't tell me it's the devil, because he's the thing give to us to help us. So don't blame him for everything. Don't make him the big bad guy, you know. Oh, we understand all about that. But what's the biggest problem to a Christian? The biggest problem to a Christian is condemnation. The biggest thing that keeps you and I from being able to receive what we need is condemnation. Especially self-condemnation. See, now that's the main thing that is bothering us, and that's why we can't come to a position to truly have faith. That's why we're not seeing God move among us, but yet we are. Listen to the testimonies a while ago of how God has done with all of us to be here with us. I mean, amen. But still, what? That's just a drop in the bucket to what God wants to do. I mean, that's just a simple point of what God wants to do among us. He wants to be here and heal and deliver all of us. And without any healing tonight, there's not going to be any resurrection. But see, our biggest problem is condemnation. And as I said, self-condemnation. Because that's one thing about it. You can't lie. Right? You put the lie detectors to test on you. They ask you a question. You can't lie. It's going to show up. Now, you can lie to yourself long enough until you can believe your own lie.
Right.
But that ain't going to change the machine.
Right.
So if it don't change the machine, it's not going to change what's inside of you. But see, our problem is condemnation. We accept the Bible. We believe the Word. But do we believe that we're just as righteous as God is by being in Jesus Christ? What's the problem then? Why can't we believe that and accept it? When the prophet said, I believe it's page 31, Church Age Book. He said, you must believe that you're just as righteous as Jesus Christ. By being in God, just as righteous as Jesus Christ is. He said, to accept one is to accept the other. To believe one is to believe the other. In other words, if we can't say we're just as righteous as God is, there's something wrong. Because God says we are. But we don't believe Him. See, we're not believing what the Word says about us. It's condemnation. All right, and that's why now that it's so vital to understand the difference between soul and spirit and body. It's vital to understand that because you've got to know what's going on, but you've got to believe it. You've got to believe that a born-again believer cannot sin. According to the Bible. But yet you've got to know for a certainty that Christians are the only ones who do sin. So then you've got to get it to the place to understand.
That's right.
What's going on? Who's doing the wrong? Who's doing the sinning to a Christian? If it's impossible for him to sin, it can't be the born-again experience. Because God can't sin. So it's got to be in the body and the spirit of the individual. But the body and the spirit of the individual is what's keeping us from rightly having faith to believe what we ask for. Because we think we're not worthy. But God didn't ever ask nobody was they worthy. Show me one scripture where God ever asked anybody was they worthy. He knows we're not worthy. But we make ourselves, you know, to a place that we can't rightly have faith because of our condemnation. Now let's just read what the prophet had to say. Paragraph 65 of Perfect Faith, 1963:8:25, number 2 on your notes. Therefore, he relied upon what God made him. Now he's talking about Jesus. And if he did that, then can't we rely upon what God made us as believers? These signs shall follow them that believe. He had faith in what he was. And if you are a believer, you have faith in what you are. You are a believer. And if you got faith in God, the Bible says over here, if our hearts condemn us, then we can't have faith. But if our hearts don't condemn us, then we can have faith. We have confidence toward God. Now, that's the 1 John that we read. If you want to read that, that's in 1 John 3:21. All right. Now, he goes down to the next. What? Notice, if our hearts condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. But as long as you're doing things that's wrong, you can't have confidence toward God, see? So, you see, you can... You'll automatically know that you're wrong. In other words, you're going to automatically condemn yourself. You automatically will put yourself back there, a sinner, by knowing that you're wrong. But when your heart don't condemn you, and you know you are a believer, and there's nothing between you and God, you can ask what you will, and know that it'll be given because it's the word that's given to you just like it was to those disciples. Now listen. Automatically. Now where does faith lie? You remember the message now? Where does faith lie? Faith lies in your subconscious. Your subconscious is your soul. Do you remember the messages now? Anybody hear these things, they're back behind. You want them, call, we'll give them to you. The prophet says your subconscious is your soul, and he says your subconscious is where faith lies. Faith doesn't lie in your brain. That's mental faith. It doesn't lie in your spirit being part of you of any kind. That would be mental faith. Now, outwardly, I can lie. And I can make myself to a position till I can even get emotional about it. But the lie detector will tell whether it's truth or not. What's the lie detector working on? Sure, it's working upon your spirit being. But what is that spirit being controlled by? In your spirit being, you can try your best to lie. Because you have to do that to let a lie, you know. A lie is not see, taste, feel, smell, and hear, you know. A lie is working in the spirit realm of reason, memory, conscience, and things. But that inward part of you, that soul that you are, it can't lie. All right? So then if you're automatically condemned, that's from within. Now, you can try your best to start, to what do we call it? Sear your conscience to where that it doesn't bother you, but that's still not going to make it right. The best thing to do is repent. You know what I've preached to you about it, because that's what we do. I have a problem with Ryan, and him and I are talking, you know, and we get kind of huffy about something and say a few harsh words, and, you know, we separate. Well, when I first separate from him, I think, well, you know, that wasn't right. I shouldn't have said that to him. I shouldn't have said what I said like I did. Right? But then maybe 30 minutes later, an hour later, or a day later, I start saying, well, you know, I had a right to say what I said to him. What am I doing? I'm searing my conscience for him to keep it from coming up to condemn me. And after a while, I start making him the bad guy. I had a right to say that to him. You know. See? But see, first you're condemned. Immediately repent. And unless it's something you got to say to him, you know, personally, immediately repent, and that'll clear the slate. Because then I start to pray for somebody. It's like Brother Branham did when he just told that little bitty part, you know, tell him I'm not in here. Right now, he wasn't. He went out the back door, got out of there before she told him on the phone. But it was a good white lie, wasn't it? That we don't think much about. We think the black ones are the only bad ones. But the little white lie, when he went down to pray for the child, God said, take your hands off. Yeah, but Brother Dale, we're not prophets. You don't have to be a prophet to have a conscience. You don't have to be a prophet to have a soul. You don't have to be a prophet to know when you do wrong. But God said, take your hands off. He went back and prayed, or went back and repented to those people, and when he come back, then God healed the child. See, what was the matter with Brother Branham? Condemned. Right? He was condemned for what he done. All right? He wasn't walking, as Romans says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, had he went on and talked to the people there, you know, and all, and went on from there, walking after the Spirit, he could have went and prayed for the child, and the child would have been healed. But instead, the little white lie put a condemnation into his heart. Right. Now, you know what I'm talking about. Amen. You know when you do something, something will come up and tell you that ain't right. You ought not have said that. But then you keep on, you build your own case. Right. Come on, we're all guilty. Oh, but Brother Dale, you're lying. Go take the lie detector test and let's see. I'll be glad to pay for it if you don't believe it. Let you find out you lied. But see, what was wrong with the prophet? He was automatically condemned. And by being condemned, he couldn't have faith. Now, he didn't. Definitely didn't turn. Well, it don't make no difference what I done, Lord. I'm covered under the blood now, Lord. It's all good. I'm your prophet, and I'm covered under the blood. No. He went back and told them people, said, I lied to you. That's what got rid of the condemnation. The condemnation would have stayed. See? Listen. Going down to the next one, paragraph 97. Same message. Now, you must believe what you ask for. If you are a believer, recognize yourself as a believer. Recognize that these things are for you. If there's condemnation in your life, straighten that first. Go and read all of the things that goes on. here especially where he said it'll come along to where he said you can pour oil on by the gallons and it won't move. You got condemnation, pour oil on by the gallons, it won't move. He said, that's what we get when you come with oil robbers. You went to him and all. Why? Because he didn't confess it. You know, the prophet preached a message called, to be healed, confess your sins. Well, I ain't telling nobody I sinned. I don't want them to know what I done. Then you're not going to be there in faith. You're not going to have faith with that attitude. Well, I didn't sin. I hadn't sinned all, like that lady told Jack Cole, Brother Tatum would laugh at this one. The lady told Jack Cole something about it. You know, I ain't sinned in so long. He said, shut up and sit down. You're the biggest sinner here. But you see, the Bible says if we say we have not sinned, what does it say? We make him a liar. Because he's the one showing us we are in a problem. We're automatically condemning ourselves. All right? Now, he said that'll make you that condemnation in your heart, and God will not come into that heart condemned. God won't dwell in that. You've got to make it right. Now, you ever heard the prophet say, you do something wrong, said the Holy Spirit goes out on a limb, waits on you to call him back. What's he describing? Now, if you're a born-again Christian and do something wrong, the Holy Spirit don't leave your soul. But the contact with God is cut off by you because you're automatically condemning yourself. All right. Now, why hearest thou, Elijah, number four? 58:06-09. Now listen a minute. If our heart condemn us, but if there's something in your life that condemns you, you better make that thing right. I don't care what in the world you just can't operate right. The Holy Spirit can't deal with you. Now listen to it. When you got prejudice, I want you to think. And selfishness. And all those things in you, the Holy Spirit can never bless you. You might get some intellectual emotions, some workup. He goes on to explain how that works on the nerve endings of expressing it. You read it there. Of where that someone who can't have a child and they go adopt a child and the first thing you know they get one of their own. That's how much that works up on emotions, condemnations, and problems works up on your whole makeup of your body. But he said selfishness. He didn't name anything big. He said prejudice. Well, I think I'm a little better. Prejudice. Now, I love black people, but prejudice. Or, I love white people, but prejudice. You got a lot to go with that word if you look it up. But it's like one time I remember, and it was really a shock to me to find out in the Bible the spirits that was cast out of Mary Magdalene. Because I knew what she was in the Bible. She was a prostitute. But read what Brother Branham says about it. He didn't bring out any great sinful emotional things of a make of a prostitute, you know. It was pride and boast and envy. That's what made her a prostitute. Not all the lustful things we think about. He doesn't mention them. I'll be glad to look it up for you at a service, because I got it written down if you give me that scripture where he names those seven things. But you see, we're looking for some kind of a great big... Oh, no, brother. Now, Brother Ryan, I ain't stole anything. Now, I'm not condemned to stealing. I've not stole anything. I ain't murdered nobody. That's what we think it is. We ought not need the Holy Ghost to know that or to condemn us. What we need the Holy Ghost to condemn us about is the little bitty things that we think don't amount to nothing. But that's what's keeping us from having faith for healing and for miracles of God among us. Well, let me just put it this way, because it'll come on later. If that's all it takes to stop that, what do you think is going to do about a change? When somebody's got to stand there and say they're changed before they're changed. Now, you tell me condemnation won't be involved in that. All right? Listen, trying to get on truth. What hearest thou, Elijah? 1959-0609. Could you play that hymn to me? Oh, to be like Jesus. Do you hear me? To be like Jesus. On earth I long to be like him. Do you know it? Is that what you want to be like? Sure you do. How many knows the song? Let's sing it now in a worship. To be like Jesus. That's my desire. I want his spirit. It's something you can't clean your spots no more than a leopard can lick his spots clean. You can't do it. Let's just worship him and tell him to take all consciousness of sin away, all unbelief, and establish that something in us that we know when we know where we're standing, there's no sin in our way. And God answers prayer, and we know that that's the truth. But if our heart condemns us, then God won't hear us. If there's any condemnation, take it away, God. Condemnation. Self-condemnation. Now tell me you don't have self-condemnation. The altar's open, you need to repent. That's just the best way to say it, because you're lying. Now, my biggest problem is self-condemnation, where I've already confessed to God, and I've already asked him to forgive me. I've already straightened it up. You know, I say something wrong to my wife, I go back and I say, honey, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that like that. But after I get all of that done, and I try to straighten everything right, you know, that I know, and then I start trying to check my life, which is wonderful and we need to do, but the first thing comes along is self-condemnation. I start condemning myself. I start saying, if I had what I thought I had, I wouldn't do what I done. Any of you ever get in that place? You ever get to that place that you think about, if I was really what I thought I was, I wouldn't be doing what I done? Maybe when God has already wiped the slate clean. But you see, I wish I had time to preach on what confessions and things like that is. Because, see, you've got to believe that you're forgiven. Now, you can repent all you want to, but you've got to believe you're forgiven. If you don't believe you're forgiven, you know what? You're not forgiven, because you're not going to forgive. God can't forgive. He's forgiven you now, but you can't forgive yourself. So you'll keep condemning yourself. Now, somewhere in life, all of us, whether it be something we done wrong, whether it be drinking, gambling, smoking, running around with women, where it be some of you that's got your marital problems in your lives and things like that, you're going to have to face it somewhere and draw a line.
Right. Amen.
And say, I've done all I can do to get this straight. God, help me.
That's
And there's none of us in here that's a goody-two-shoes, you know, that we haven't done what the rest of y'all done. The little sin is the worst one. Because the little sin is the one that you won't think you need to get rid of. So don't go that away. I'm trying to preach the truth to you. If you got a marital problem, you got to search God for a grace under the grace of marriage and divorce, and don't start taking the Bible to try to prove how everything's okay. It won't work. You'll automatically condemn yourself. You got to get down to what God says about it. And we believe what the prophet had to say about it. You got to believe what the prophet said was God speaking through the prophet. But you got to believe it's for you. But what I watch people do, they won't take the Bible and say, well, I done it and I know, but I got the right cause of this over here, and the Bible says this over here, and that's about, no, don't do that. You're just running around and around. You're trying to bypass the real issue. Just stand right up there and say, God, I'm sorry. Ain't nothing I can do now. So I've got to believe in the grace that is for me. And accept it that way. Because it can't be anything else. Now watch. Because you've got to come to the place. Listen to what he says. Paragraph 77 of Perfect Faith. Now see, he knew who he was. Number 6 on your notes. Therefore he had faith. Faith could produce when he knowed what he was. Now, if you abide in me, and my word in you, then you know who you are. Amen. Ask what you will, it'll be given to you. Wouldn't that be wonderful tonight if everybody come in that prayer line, say, I'm a Christian. I have no condemnation. I know that my heart condemned me not. Something tells me that tonight's the end of my suffering. That's you're going away from here with something. No matter how much you come in emotions, how much you do, it won't work. Until that perfect faith that's manifested and identified itself in you as a substance, when it's there, then nothing's going to shake you from it. You got to believe that you're forgiven before you can be forgiven. Just as you've got to believe you're healed before you can be healed. You got to believe you're forgiven before you can be forgiven. You're condemning your own self. Forgive yourself. Well, I just can't forgive myself because I let myself do it. That ain't the, oh, you're trying to be good. Well, I know, when I get on this, it gets down to itching, don't it? You're trying to be a good old mama or daddy or something. Instead of just looking at the things face straight in the face and says, I'm sorry, I done it. You don't have to explain to God all about why you done anything. Amen. If they hadn't done what they done, I wouldn't have done what I done. Oh, get out of it. The best way to be forgiven is go right straight before the Lord and say, Father, I done it. Amen. With nobody else's fault. And got nobody else to blame. I'm the blame. I'm the one. I'm sorry. So the only thing I could do is place myself on your mercy. Right. And plead the blood that you made for me. Because that's what it was made for. You're not saved by the blood. Right? You're saved by grace through faith. You're kept saved by the blood. Plead the blood. I have to. But God, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done what I done. I'm sorry. I'm wrong. Forgive me. The Bible said he didn't, that even offerings and sacrifices, he said I would. It got to a stink in his nostril. He said, but honest and a contrite heart. Look at David on his way home from the bed of Bathsheba. And yet he becomes in himself and he condemns his own self. And when he does, the Spirit strikes in him and begins to sing, "They pierced my hands and my feet." Because you see, David knew that's exactly what he was doing. He knew his sins was going to put him on Calvary. So he said, "They pierced my hands and my feet." But that anointing was there. But we try to think that we can get good enough. You can't get good enough to be saved. You remember Danny talking, watch night service? See, Danny used to think he could get good enough, that maybe one of these days the Lord would save him. Well, I just told him one day, because I knew what he's doing, I said, "That won't work. You can't get good enough to be saved. You got to realize you're a sinner and lost. And there is no hope without God." But then you've got to plead the sacrifice that he's made for us. You've got to believe it was made for you. All right, look at the last one. "Be Not Afraid," 1963, 607. Now, what a mix-up the people's got in today, that think that Christianity is one of the softest things. All they do is put their name on a book and have somebody to sprinkle them or something or another and give the minister the right hand of fellowship, and that's all there is to it. Go on out. That's not Christianity. Now, you know that's what it is in the denominational world. You know that. But watch him. Christianity is self-denial. Take up your cross daily, follow him. Die out to the things of the world. Then when all condemnation is gone, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. How do you get into him? By joining? No. Shaking hands? No. By a union? No. By union? By education? No, it's not education. By one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body. By Holy Spirit baptism, we're in Christ. And there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, what? That walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen. And that'd make anybody shout. Now listen, I preached that to you years ago, Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Now Paul interpolated the next statement for clarification, to make sure that people didn't understand. That's what you call interpolating. I was not saying then, and I'm not saying now, that he was adding to. He was clarifying his statement that he made. He said, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus." See, everybody come along. "I'm in Christ Jesus. I'm in Christ Jesus. I'm in Christ Jesus." And then living like the devil. So he interpolated a thought before anybody could come along and do anything. He made a statement to them that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's what you call interpolating, to where that you can make sure of a clarification that people don't misunderstand you. All right? See, there's no condemnation in the soul of a born-again believer. Now show me where it's at. But if the born-again believer can't stand and believe that he's forgiven, or confess and do right and straighten up, automatically something will condemn you. But what do you do? "Father, forgive me. Father, forgive me." That's the thing that should be done. It's like I said about a man one time that I know years ago. He'd rather buy you a brand new Cadillac than say, "I'm sorry." That was his way of saying, "I'm sorry." Was to buy you something or do something. No. Best thing is to say, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Forgive me." But you'll watch a lot of people. They'll come up to the point and they'll say, Now, Ryan, forgive me. Yeah. Be real sly. You're really not honest, and you're automatically condemned. And that's what's wrong with you. The reason you can't have faith. The reason you can't have faith is because you won't come forward and just say, I'm wrong. I'm sorry. Soft sweetness don't work with God.
Right.
Honesty. Honesty is what goes with God.
Right.
Because you can't rightly have faith when you condemn yourself. But when you can just come forth and say, I'm sorry. I've apologized to a lot of people. That I, in a lot of ways, in my own human ways, and even other people told me, said, you didn't owe them no apology. They owed you. But they ain't got nothing to do with it.
Amen.
They ain't got nothing to do with it. Because I want to be right myself. I got enough problems like it is. But condemnation will kill you. Condemnation is what's keeping you and I out of the chains of the body right now. And condemnation is what's going to put the people in the grave that can't stand there to be changed. It's condemnation. Because we'll automatically condemn ourselves for doing wrong. Thank God for that. Because I love it over in Corinthians when we take the communion, we're talking about condemnation. If our heart condemns us, greater is God than our heart. Why? Thank God he brought it to my attention.
Right.
But see, like I say, most people have come along, you know, instead of saying to somebody, I'm sorry, they just start right off a new day. You know, they just start right off a new day. And but if you mention it to them, what are you bringing it up for? That was yesterday. That won't work. You see, what's wrong with us folks is condemnation. And the worst off is self-condemnation that won't accept what God has said. To believe what the Word says about us. Come on, let's stand. To believe what the Word says about us. Because it's so hard to believe that that's for me. It's pretty easy to believe it's for somebody else, isn't it? But it's so hard to believe it's for me. And it's hard to ask him, you know, about myself. Think on these things. The position, the prophet said, to have faith. Is no condemnation. Now that's the first thing. See, you think, no, it's to know the great mysteries. It's to know, that's it, part of it. We'll get to that. But if we don't get this part straight, the prophet said, those things will go over your head. If we don't get it straight, what we've done wrong, and admit we've done that wrong and ask God to forgive us about the wrong. You remember the one Brother Brown told about? I believe it was a girl or something, somebody, a boy or something. Anyhow, it was many, many, many years when they came to the altar that before then that they had taken some money at the church or something. See, you say, well, how many times did they pray in there, God, forgive me? You know, we want to make a blanket out of it. Now, how many of you admit this is honest and true? How many of you make a blanket? I'm going to tell you I do. We make a blanket out of our prayers a lot of times. You know what I mean by blanket? Lord, forgive me for what I've done today. Now, that's a blanket. Right? Because, see, I'm covering the whole day. Now, I know omission, commission. I know the story. I know the Bible. But, see, a lot of times that don't cover. Why didn't it cover that girl? How many times do you think maybe she'd ask God to forgive her of all things you'd ever done. But the prophet said, your problem is you stole money out of that church 15 years ago or something. That's what I've tried to get you to see. What we think is a blanket for our covering. Oh, I'm under the blood. I'm a Christian, so I can't sin. You're right in the trap of the devil right there. He's got you deceived. So don't do your prayers. And I do, and there's nothing wrong with doing it this way. If I know I've done something wrong to anybody, I go to that person and I'm sorry. Forgive me. And then I do make a blanket out of it at the end of the day. I say, God, if there's anything I've done wrong today that I don't remember, I don't know of, you forgive me. Well, see, if I'm honest, you know what? He's going to forgive me. If I'm honest. But if I'm saying within myself, I know I've done something wrong. I know I spoke harsh to my wife this morning, but, you know, she spoke harsh to me too. Then just cover me under the blanket, Lord. No, go tell your wife you're sorry. Or husband. Just say, I'm sorry. Then get back under the blanket, you know. Or saying anything I've done wrong, forgive me. Because we want to be clean. When I walk out of that back room coming out here, there's a prayer I make every day. God, forgive me of all I've done. I'm sorry. I'm not worthy. Use this vessel to preach to your people. That's the prayers on my lips that I come out of that room. Because I want everything right. Go ahead, brother. Let's think. 224. Anybody have a need? No. You have a need? Come and let's believe. And let's see. The way. Just believe. Father, just speak to our sister, Lord. Reveal to her that you have for her. Her honesty of heart. Lord, that's what you look at, is honest and a contrite heart. So just touch our sister now. And you come to her and you speak to her. And you show her, you reveal your word. Father, I know my sister, that if there's anything you revealed that was wrong, she'd make it right. So you just speak, Father, in your love, in Jesus' name. Just believe it. You got to believe that you're forgiven. You got to believe that God has paid the price. Father, you heard the honesty of our brother's heart. And Lord, you help him and you give him strength. Father, we all need that. We're all sorry for our ways and our thoughts and our doings. We all need your strength to come and help us. Help us to walk in you, Father. And just guide us. Forgive us, Father. And lead us all in your love, because our brother's desire is the same desire from all of our hearts. We want to walk in you. In Jesus' name. Anybody else? Do you believe?
Do in myself from
sin. Father, you heard our sister, Lord. You heard the thoughts of her heart, because she wants everything right. So just forgive and bless and guide. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Anybody else? Just leads me closer home. Don't know of nothing. No need. Okay. No problem with me. Never be. Anybody else? Our brother has trouble with his back bothering him, so let's believe. Father, we know that Satan is trying his best to come back on our brother, to give him trouble with his back. You tried it before, and our Savior came on the scene. So Satan, we adjure thee in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, of this demon that's trying to come on our brother of back trouble, and we condemn you through the blood of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. Anybody else? And look up. Do you believe it? See, you got to believe. You got to believe that you're forgiven. But the best thing to do is just be straight honest with yourself. Ever leads me on until someday the last step will be taken. Each step I take just leads me closer. Father, we thank you for an opportunity today to speak to your people, the purchase of your blood, and to try to get all of us to see what we need to have perfect faith. Because we can't have any condemnation. And we need to get ourselves straight before you and to walk in your light and your love. And Lord, just forgive us and guide us. Help us to see what you have said about us from your word. Guide us now as we go eat a natural meal. Bring us back together in your love in Jesus' name.